This is Captivated Minds. I'm Jake.
I'm Stan.
This is our new series on religious artifacts. We've talked about various religious topics like the Vatican or the Knights Templar, but now we're going to be talking about some religious stuff.
So, what people might not know is when we're doing this, we usually pick a topic and then pick movies to go with it.
That's right.
And we did this backwards this time.
Oh, yeah.
The whole thing was we wanted to do Indiana Jones movies.
That's right.
So to do Indiana Jones movies, we decided, well, you can pick the artifacts or things that kind of go along with the movies.
That's right.
Which I actually thought was a kind of a neat way of us doing this.
Kind of half-assed backwards, right, yeah.
Usually it's like, okay, we have this topic. Let's think of movies
that relate to this theme. Right. Yeah.
And then it's like, hey, we could do Raiders. And do the Ark. So we can do Temple of Doom and do this. We can do...
Now we're going to do a three-part, well, probably a six-part series because we're going to have correlating episodes like The Mummy or various other artifact-related episodes, movie-wise. But each episode is going to be one religious artifact.
Yes.
So this episode will be the Ark of the Covenant. We also have some other artifacts coming up, and we're probably going to end the series with the Holy Grail.
Yes. The Holy Grail, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Is it a cup? Is it DNA? Is it Jesus's foreskin?
That's one Holy Grail.
That's one Holy Grail.
Yeah. So let's get into it.
Is it Rasputin's penis?
Maybe.
It could be.
Yeah.
That's in a jar.
I'm not drinking from it. If it gave you eternal life, are you drinking from it?
Yeah.
Oh. Are you drinking from it? It's a cup. It's a little cup. You got to drink just from it.
Because the thing is, it's in a see-through glass jar, so you have to look at it when you drink it.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd have to look right at it. Just drink right from it.
Maybe.
Give you eternal life. You just got to drink from the tip.
Just from the tip. Is it a shot?
Yeah. Just think of it as a double shot. Just a, like this, right here you go.
Can I be like Cartman and just close my eyes?
Nope, you got to keep them open. You got to look right down the eye.
Oh, right down the pipe?
Yeah, right down. You want eternal life, you got to earn it.
You got to earn your eternal life. I don't know. Maybe not.
I wouldn't do it, no. Before we discuss the Ark, we have to look at the individual who acquired the Ark. Now we're, of course, talking about Moses. While he was an influential person within multiple religions, we're going to try our best to condense his story just a little bit. Moses was born at a time when his mother had to keep him safe. The Pharaoh was concerned with the population of the Israelites, so he makes an order to kill every firstborn son. Moses is hidden safe as a baby until one day his mother and his sister place a baby basket, or bassinet, into the Nile as they let the child drift off.
What's up with everyone having a problem with Jews?
That's
like, if you look at history.
Yeah, yeah. History's not
like not history
great
is
to them.
Not kind no. to Jewish people.
I mean, we give them some comedy. But that's, I mean...
That's, I just don't... It just... It's mind-blowing.
They have great food, but we're...
Yeah.
Good Reuben. Good Santa. Yeah, but...
Our friends from Israel, like, they sent us a snack package.
Oh, I'm sure it's great
was
food.
Like, this is pretty good.
But you're right. History is not great to them.
No, it's dumb.
It's real dumb. Bad. The Nile River is the longest river in the world with a span of 4,132 miles. It flows at a north direction through Africa and drains outward towards the Mediterranean Sea. The Nile is connected by three large streams, but if we have learned anything, it's to never cross the streams. Yeah. Now we have a scope of the land. Yep, that's where I went with it.
Yep.
Now we have a scope of the landscape so we can continue with the floating baby down the river. We are not sure how long the baby travels, but something strange kind of just happened. The basket is spotted.
I believe it's the only river that flows north.
That's what I believe so too, yes.
It's still, like, mind-boggling to scientists today.
Yes, why
it flows why out. It flows that way.
That's right. The basket noticed by the daughter of the Pharaoh. The child is taken by the princess, and he is given the name Moses. Moses is adopted. Doesn't Moses sound like he'd be a singer now? Welcome to the stage, Moses.
Moses, like Moby?
Or Prince Moses.
Yeah, he would be.
Yeah.
I see him as, like, DJ.
Yeah, the artist formerly known as Moses.
Yes.
Moses is adopted by the princess and lives a life of fortune until something catches his attention. He notices a murder, and then another time he's out and about, and he breaks up a fight. But these people within the fight think Moses will just kill them, but he doesn't. We can tell that being open to this world can have its drawbacks for Moses. Moses moves to Midian.
Okay, here's my big question. Mm-hmm. Every time when I hear the story of Moses and stuff like that, she finds this baby.
In a basket in the river.
Now, the Pharaoh just made this order to kill all the firstborn.
That's correct. Right?
And she finds this baby. He doesn't question it. He just allows her to adopt this son.
That's right.
Shouldn't he go, oh, this is probably one of the babies that I wanted killed?
But he doesn't know because it might not have been a firstborn.
True.
Sometimes families at that time maybe just toss the babies in the river. I'm not saying that's a great idea. I'm not saying that's good, but they might have put the babies in the river because they couldn't take care of them.
Right. Here you go.
Let the river run its course. Let the river
guide you.
That's right.
But it was always my big question because it's like, okay, you wanted all these, and randomly you find a baby in the water.
Yes.
And it's like, oh yeah, go ahead. Do you want a baby? Go for it.
But it is kind of neat that Moses lived most of his life as like a rich snotty kid. And then at some point he's like, okay, I have to go to the city to see what this shit's about. And then people are like, yo man, are you going to kill us? Like, think about, that's kind of fucked up too. So he has this one life where he could have been the poor kid, but like his family made him the rich kid that was kind of secluded by life for a long time.
He could have ended up dying anyways.
That's right.
From slavery or whatever. Yeah.
Well, on a couple of various adventures, Moses is able to rescue a couple of sisters. It would also appear that in those days, whenever you save someone, you want a wife. So he had the chance, he had that going for him too. Moses lived as a shepherd for a while too. One day, another weird incident takes place. He stumbles upon a burning bush. Burning bush. The burning bush.
was she a ginger?
Maybe. It was burning. Hot.
It's hot.
The burning bush even does a song and dance number for him. Yeah, that sounds like a... Yeah. The bush tells... Come on. The bush tells him it has a voice of... It's the voice of God. The voice of God tells him to return to Egypt.
So there is a...
There's a thing. Yeah.
If everything you read about in the Bible, there is some truth. Some.
Okay.
Now, what people have said is Moses was a real person and he was high on mushrooms.
And he saw the burning bush.
And he saw the burning bush and God spoke to him.
Yeah.
To me, that is 100% believable. Like if he was on some sort of psychedelic.
He saw it, had an experience.
And had an experience. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Now, if he was completely sober.
Could you say that would be a psychotic break?
Could be a psychotic break, yeah. It definitely could have been. I'm also going to say this. I'm not going to say it's aliens, but...
Aliens. Yeah.
I mean, that's the other...
That's a weird way of looking at it, but yes, I get what you're saying. That's the other thing, like,
the only... They wanted to guide Moses, they saw what's going on, they wanted to actually... Because that's the other thing, like, gods and stuff like that are real, but they're actual extraterrestrial beings.
That's a whole episode. Yeah.
But I think it definitely the whole, like, maybe a psychedelic.
Had something to do with it. Could you think he was drunk? He could have been drunk, too.
Could have been, but the...
Because at that point, they put weird spices into wine in that point, too.
When you drink, your memory gets shot. But people who have, like, microdosed or just experimented with certain psychedelics,
they remember
everything that they saw.
Yeah.
That's why I was kind of going down that route. And the only reason why I know a lot about this is because I watch a lot of Rogan. Like, listen to him a lot.
And he talks about
this. And he talks about it.
That's why I talked about the wine, because I got that from him, too. Yeah. So they said there was a lot of, like, bits of like various other drugs in the wine too, right, that maybe mushrooms or whatever. So maybe if he had a drink in a wine, that could have been laced that with something, because wine was probably pretty relevant at that time, yeah, too. Yeah. The voice of God wants Moses to do some shit at first. He kind of Moses kind of declines. Moses even tells the voice of God that they should kind of find someone else to do the job.
God's picking you,
and you're like, "No, God, I'm cool, man. I'm out. No, I'm good. You should go do pick someone else."
I'd do the same thing. Yeah. Be like, all right. Hey, you know, thank you. I feel humbled.
Yeah.
But
no, no,
I'm not your guy.
No. If I'm your guy, we are fucked right now. Fucked. That's right. The voice of God tells him he is chosen, and God has the final say. Yeah, because it's God.
Right.
And he tells him to listen to him. Moses does return to Egypt as he is told. He is now a little older, and he has had some more life experience under his belt. Moses is able to round up his people, and they take the treasure as they leave, basically. Moses is now a leader. We've kind of skimmed through the whole kind of story of Moses, but this is really about Moses and then getting to the ark, because this is really about the ark. It's not like Moses' life and story.
This isn't a deep dive into Moses.
This is just kind of like how he got to the ark, and then from the ark, we'll go from there.
Yeah.
We can kind of assume that the Pharaoh had found out about the stolen treasure. It is very possible that he just wanted these people back so he could kind of rule these people, because they were kind of like slaves or lower class citizens to the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh was pulling a dick move and sent some chariots after these people and Moses, the Hebrews and Moses. With some holy presence, Moses is able to part the Red Sea. He does this long enough to save his people. Once all of the people were across, he closes up the sea and kills all of the men and chariots that are after him.
You want to know something amazing?
Yeah.
So they actually, dive teams have actually gone into the Red Sea.
Yep.
And found chariots at the bottom of the Red Sea.
No shit.
Yeah, pieces, like wheels.
Wouldn't you think that the wood and stuff would have degraded?
Because it's so deep and so cold, that wood actually gets petrified. And no shit.
It's not salt water?
I can't remember what's in the sea, in the Red Sea. But like when they find pirate ships in the ocean, if they're in deep enough water, it will actually hold them. That's why they can't bring them up, because as soon as they bring them up, they'll fall apart. So they've actually found relics
of chariots,
and they're wondering.
No shit.
So the whole thing was like, how did these get down there? And then, of course, the religious people are like, because
of this.
Of this.
Yes.
This moment here.
Yeah. Moses goes on a long quest with God. During this conversation, God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. Moses was given these two stone tablets that had the law of God on them. God also had another request, that these stone tablets be kept in kind of like a container. This container is called the Ark of the Covenant, and it is constructed. The Ark is created from the Word of God under specific orders to house these stone tablets. Basically, it has to be made as certain construction, by this, using certain things. That's how God wants it, basically. There was a thought that there was a direct connection to God, because the box itself had a very holy quality to it as well.
You ever see the movie Ten Commandments?
It's been a while.
We had to watch it in school.
Yeah.
VHS.
Yeah. It was long.
It was very long.
They used to play it all the time during Easter on basic cable.
Yeah.
It'd be like, this is a 4-hour event. We're starting at 6 o'clock at night, and we're not going to end till tomorrow.
Because what happened was, like, I remember some of the premise was, you know, they've been walking for a while, stuff like that. That's when Moses kind of drifts off. And that's when God gives him the Ten Commandments. And when he comes back, the sinners that are around, because you saw people trying to kill each other, you have other people killing animals and eating them, blah, blah, blah. They all start falling to hell.
Yeah.
And then all the good ones are saved.
Yeah. We have now covered how and why the Ark was created. While we continue on, we will explore the aspects of the Ark. Among the research conducted, some states that there have been multiple Arks created. It would be fascinating to think that there could have been more than Ark created at the same time or around the same period. This leads to a slight rabbit hole. How do we even know there was a real Ark? While we all have so far a story, but the message is still interesting, it is very possible that Moses was trying to pull a fast one over us with the stone tablets, too.
So, the Ark is supposedly made out of wood and gold.
That's right.
Right?
Yep.
Now, if God is the one saying you need to create this, you need to figure out how to do this.
Yes.
To me, God wouldn't give a shit about gold, right? So what if the whole thing about it being made out of gold and wood is a false thing to get people looking for something made out of gold, well, when it was actually just a very decorative box?
I wonder if gold has any, like, other holy relevance to it either. I don't know if, you know, Jesus was given gold when he was born or things like, I don't know, right, various things like that. But if gold has some sort of holy property, maybe. Because
if you think about it, when you watch Last Crusade.
Yes.
Okay. And you have that whole bench full of all these different cups. Everyone keeps going for the gold, brightest,
best
jewels,
one. Yeah,
stuff like that. That's what's throwing everyone off, when it's actually just a normal cup.
Yeah.
So that's what's the, like, could the reason why this thing has been missing for thousands of years be because everyone's looking for this
wrong thing, maybe.
Wrong thing.
Yeah.
But that was the purpose. The purpose was, because, like you said, was many different arcs created. And the one that everyone's looking for
is this big sort of thing, grandiose box.
Right, it's this grand box. And
yeah,
everyone's looking for that when it's actually this. Maybe it's just, who's to say the tablets are these giant?
Yeah,
things?
We'll talk about that. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
Like,
well, we're not saying it is real, but it does. This does hold some kind of weight. Like, people want to find it, unless there are distinct markings or a way to date these materials. Finding the one true Ark may be a difficult task. While we touch deeper upon this later, the location of the Ark, even during the time of Moses, was hard to track. What happens to the Ark if it breaks? Is another one constructed, or do they use the parts of the old one to make it complete?
See, that's another thing. It'd have to be strong enough, because
to last the testament of time.
Exactly. Because if it breaks, and the word of God comes out, and you all die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It'd have to withstand something. And if this thing has been moved around
for years and years,
for a millennia, then, yeah, it has to be durable. So that's why, like,
wouldn't you think it'd be made out of stone and gold, or just stone?
That's what I was starting to think. Like, a stone, or,
because wood would deteriorate over years.
Right. But then do you use, would you use gold, or would you use a metal that could withstand it? Like, would you use, I mean, it was before the Iron Age.
Yeah, so metal.
But would you use brass? Because
you could have used brass.
Brass,
yeah,
is cheaper, but you wouldn't feel bad if it got dung up.
But how hot do you have to get gold to mold it into that kind of construction? To think about
gold,
that, too.
Gold, actually, you can melt it pretty quick. Gold is, like, one of the softest metals we have. That's why you can, like, bite into it and dent it.
Yeah.
So its melting point is actually a lot lower than most metals.
So they'd have to heat it up fairly hot.
And then pour it in a mold and
do it that way.
Do it that way, right.
As we continue this episode, we'll be looking at various aspects of the Ark to determine if it's real and if it has a possible location. The Ark is told to be created within the Book of Exodus. In this book, God speaks to Moses and tells him that his people have to create an ark fabricated with wood and gold, like we just talked about. The various elements of the construction had to be precise and detailed. The top section would be made of a specific type of wood based on the request of God. Again, why would God want to choose that type of wood? Is there a holy meaning to that particular type of wood or gold itself? So, why are these materials chosen?
Or did the people that made the box purposely said gold and say a type of wood? So that's why, to fool people, to make them look for, oh, well, it's not this box.
Yeah.
Because this box has
silver.
Has brass on it, or silver.
Yeah.
And it's made out of oak.
Well, this was redwood, so we can't.
So,
yeah,
so it's
that's
like,
right. Yeah.
This isn't the box, because yep. God said it had to be yep. gold and it had to be this.
Yeah, that's right. The Ten Commandments were placed within the Ark. When the Ark was first constructed, it even had its own shrine. Now, this is kind of interesting. It's as if the people knew that the Ark and the stone tablets were more important than they first thought. According to the Hebrew Bible, the Ark had a shrine, and this shrine was movable. Many people were protected from seeing the full view of the Ark. Within the shrine, incense and other like senses were burned to create a pure environment for the Ark and the tablets.
Okay, I got another one. They create a shrine.
Yeah.
All right. It also hides
the Ark.
Hides the Ark.
Yeah.
But you know it's
the Ark.
What if they lost the Ark and they created this shrine saying the Ark's in there?
See.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, it's in there.
Or someone does a decoy and they do the old switcheroo.
Hey, Moses, we kind of left the Ark behind by accident about 1,000 miles that way. So what do you want to do? Make a shrine.
Yeah, yeah. Or if someone...
Tell everyone it's in there.
It's like a heist movie. They go in, they switch the shrines.
They switch them.
Free meat on Tuesdays. What? This isn't part of the commandments. What makes the Ark different from other holy objects would be one key detail that pertains to the Ark. From both the Christian and the Hebrew Bibles, no one or individual can directly touch the Ark. Now, and only a person using the gold staffs can move the Ark, but there is no directly touching by anyone but the Levites. The Levites are the only people who can move the Ark using the gold staffs. Now, if anyone touches the box itself, they'll face the wrath of God. One story states that a person touches the Ark and God just kills them instantly. I don't really believe that, but that's kind of like lure to the Ark as well.
Well, unless the Ark is booby-trapped.
That's true, too.
So, you know, what if it has some sort of... disease or something in it or whatever. Yeah. So if you get close to it or touch it, and maybe the Levites, they are immune to it.
Which would make sense.
So then it's like, yeah, God did it, when it's actually those are the ones putting the disease there to...
It could also be the lure that these people added to the Ark, too, to not make, like you said, so people don't go looking for it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we can't go looking because if we touch it, we're going to die because of the wrath of God.
Yeah,
yeah.
We'll die. Our faces will melt off.
So far as we know that the Ark contained the Ten Commandments given to Moses by God. Now, there also be some evidence to suggest that there were more items within the box than we had first thought. There have also been some theories that suggest a staff, as well as some manna, were placed into the box at one time. The staff was from a Hebrew tribe leader within the time of Moses. Some people that think that all three sets of items, the staff, the manna, and the tablets, were in the box or near each other and or presented as a collection of items. As time went on, things would move, and as they did, these items may have been removed from the Ark as people thought they weren't holy enough or that they didn't matter as much as the Ark did. The staff and the manna may have been removed as people felt that only the tablets were more important with the Ark.
Sorry, you're not holy enough. Get the fuck out.
Yeah. Your broom and your manna aren't good enough for the Ark.
Yeah, get your manna out of there.
You know what they use for manna, right? It was like food that could be anything.
It could be a bowl of cereal.
Yeah, whatever. Like,
that's what it is. Oh, these grapes.
That's right.
Got grapes here.
This salad. The manna and the staff may have been placed on or directly near the Ark over the years. These items may have been showcased with the Ark. The items could have also been moved as a single unit for a long time. The Ark does seem to be the main vessel for the law of God. If the Ten Commandments were ever removed, would God smite those or altered or defiled the Ark? That's a good question. If the Ark's even real, of course.
If the Ark is real,
would God condemn those that
right.
go to remove his law? That's a tough question.
It's a tough question because it's like, wouldn't God want people? I guess it would be almost like if you're worthy enough,
like Thor and Magni.
Like Thor, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can look and you can see, these are real. But if you're not worthy enough,
no.
Yeah, guess what? We're killing you.
What we have noticed about the Ark is that the Ark does seem to maintain some sort of presence in various religions after its creation. We do have now some stories of people glancing at the Ark and dying. Let's dive into that for a quick moment. God and the Ark seem to go together. It is possible that the Ark is a cursed item as well. It does seem like in some form or fashion that that God would pick and choose who can see the Ark and who can look at it without punishments. While this first episode in the series also seems to be the first item for God to place judgment upon, now does the Ten Commandments within the Ark help give the Ark more divine presence, or is it the combination of the Ark and the commandments that combined to create this holy presence as well, too?
I would say it's both. It's the combined power.
I would say so, too.
Right. I think if the Ten Commandments were kind of left by themselves, or even the box they created didn't have anything in it, I think they were fine.
But both of them
create
this kind of presence
some
or
sort
holy.
Of energy or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. We now have covered the Ark, its creation, and the presence of God. The Ark holds the stolen tablets and was held with caution. The next aspect we'll be diving into would be the motion of the box. The box moved more than an Amazon order being sent to another state and then coming back, but then finding out it was never delivered.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's a perfect analogy.
Yeah.
Because it is. Because the thing, you have this, you have the Ark. This thing is very important.
It
very,
is.
Very, very important.
To one particular type of people.
Wouldn't you want to, not move it around so much?
No.
But this thing has been moved around.
More than Amazon boxes.
This has been handled more than some people's mops.
I thought you were going to go with Sasha Gray.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been
handled. This box has been handled more than Sasha Gray's box.
Well, this box is probably real. I don't know. That one could be fake now.
Yeah.
If the Ark is real, would anyone be able to date the materials within the Ark without opening it? Ooh, that's a...
Well, you could date the box.
Yes.
You could date the box, but...
The stones itself, though? Could you date the stones? Carbon date the stones? And if that...
Not without opening it. You'd have to open it.
Again, would you open it to determine if it was real?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would too.
I would.
Just, you don't know.
Just take the chance.
You don't know.
I mean, shit, why not?
You don't know.
Okay, so here's the thing. If I had the opportunity to open the box.
Yeah. What's in the box?
What's in the box?
It's Gwyneth Paltrow's head. Spoilers. Spoilers, everybody. It's not the Ten Commandments.
I would wait until I lived a full life.
Yeah.
And then opened it. You know what I mean? Because at that point, you're like,
got nothing left to
lose. I'm ready anyway.
That's right.
So you open it and... Maybe you're disappointed. Maybe you're there's nothing in this box.
That's right.
Or maybe it's like, holy shit, the Ten Commandments are in here.
And it's real.
And then all of a sudden your face melts.
Melts off, yeah.
Right.
The Ark is a key object, but the Ark itself may have held its own path carved out. The Ark made its way to the Jewish people, and they used the Ark as a way to split the Jordan River so they may pass. After this, the Ark and its shrine are set up in the city of Shiloh. The Ark stays in Shiloh until war broken out between the Jewish people and the Palestinians. The Jewish people were badly beaten, and a final attempt was made to save the Ark. Some of these people were able to hide the Ark within Azir. The Ark was seized by the Palestinians almost instantly. The head priest, who was located within Shiloh, died when he found out that the Ark was taken.
So it's like, Ark was taken. Damn it.
Yeah, gonna go now. Bye.
Gotta go now.
Bye.
God told me if I lost the Ark, he was gonna off me, and here I go.
That's right. Yep. Knowing a little bit more about the information about the Ark now, we can say that taking the Ark from those who created it is never a good thing. The Philistines took their new claimed prize back to the city of Ashdod. They placed... Ashdod. Oh, she's...
Oh, there's a city named Ashdod?
Oh, yeah, Ashdod.
Awesome.
Yeah. Good old city of Ashdod.
Where are you from, Ashdod?
That guy's being such an asshole. They placed their prize within their temple of their god Dagon. The very next day, the people of this area noticed something is off. The people had noticed that their idol had fallen down head first. The people pick up their idol, thinking nothing of it. Maybe the wind, maybe something happened. The next day, something else happens. They find their idol again, but this time with its head removed. Soon after that, the entire city got hit with the plague.
See? Plague. That could be in the box.
Mm-hmm. The wrath of God.
The wrath of God. It's some sort of...
protection or some sort of...
disease or...
Yeah.
Wow, could you imagine if that's all it is? It's just... it's a death box for non-believers.
Or those who take it without permission.
Or those who take... so, the ones who believe, know what's in it, take care of it.
That's right.
But the ones who just want to take it for themselves...
The wrath of God. Right. Yeah. It would appear that, as if this curse of the Ark was now fully in motion, some could say that the curse was starting to punish those who could take or defile the Ark. The Philistines had no choice after dealing with the plague. They had to move the Ark. They knew they had fucked up, so they moved the Ark to another city. They basically pawned off the Ark without telling the new people about the plague. Like, oh my God, guys, we got this great deal. You want to buy this used car? Oh, it's only seen 400,000 miles. You're going to buy this right now? You want this right now? Here you go. You're going to take it right now. Hey, you got it right now.
But that's how the plague spread anyways back in those days. So it'd be like merchants would take blankets off of people who died from the plague.
Sell it.
And then bring them to another city and sell those blankets because mm-hmm. it's like, oh, well, they died. They don't need them anymore. Not realizing that
you could spread disease.
You could spread that disease.
Virus.
So now it's like...
but again, if the plague was never at the city before and instantly was there, could you associate it with the box or the actions of the people? Again, you don't know.
You don't know. It could be all coincidence.
That's right.
It could be that, yeah, the box is there, but the plague was starting to come around anyways.
That's right. As we begin to close out this episode, we have a lot to kind of unpack about the Ark. We have talked about the creation, the curses pertaining to the Ark, the purpose of the Ten Commandments, and the very aspects of its creation, and the perception people have about the Ark. We'll close up this episode as we determine a final resting spot for the Ark. The Ark seems to be one religious item that seems to maintain the test of time. If all the stories are true, then the Ark may cause destruction in its pathway.
It would be, wouldn't it be killer if you find out where it is?
Yeah.
And where it has been, and everywhere it has been, there was some, like, okay, a major earthquake hit this place because it was moved there.
Yeah.
The tsunami hit this area because it was moved there.
Hurricanes.
Wouldn't that be...
that would be fucked
what
up.
What if it is just a chaos machine?
I mean, that could be
you
it too.
You know what I mean? What if it's Pandora's box?
You open it and
you
it
open
just,
it and it's just chaos.
That could be it too. After some time passes, the Philistines had felt like it was best to bring the Ark back. The Philistines brought the Ark back as well as an expensive gift to repay what they had taken. The Ark had returned to its people once again. The Ark moved to Beit Shemesh, and then it moves to Kiryat Yearim. It would stay within Kiryat for 20 years. King David made the choice to move the Ark to Jerusalem. It would stay within Jerusalem until David's son, Solomon, moves it years later. It does seem like each time there's a new king, they're trying to maintain their own sort of say for where or how the Ark should be maintained or looked at.
And that's how it's always been.
Then, yeah.
Every time a son takes over his father's throne or whatever, it's like, okay, I need to make this my own. So that's I'm going to have this move there, do this, blah, blah, blah. And then when they die, their son takes over. It's just...
Now, do you think that they would also get the curse of the Ark if they're responsible for moving it?
Oh, yeah.
In the bloodline?
I would say so.
In the bloodline?
I don't think the bloodline.
But the individual?
The individual. Okay, you're messing with the box.
That's right.
You're having people mess with the box. You're going to deal with the consequences. And then maybe the next son or whatever learns from it, takes care of it better. Or brings it back. Maybe he treats it even worse.
Yeah.
Oh, that box killed my dad, so I'm going to now mess with it.
That's right. The Ark would stay at this temple for many years. The Babylonian Empire destroyed all of these temples. One little detail does stand out about the king at this time. The king may have known that the Ark was going to be taken, so he may have saved it last minute. We're not really sure what happens to the Ark after this. For many years, the Ark and its final location seem to be shrouded in a mystery. If someone did manage to hide the Ark, it would probably be at a holy location of some kind. For a large portion of this episode, we do talk about one group of people hiding it and hiding it safely.
There, if I remember correctly, there when the Babylonians came to destroy the temples, there was this secret passageway out of one of the temples. And supposedly, that's when a group of people grabbed the Ark, went through these passageways, and never saw it again.
Yeah, yeah. There may be one final resting location for the Ark after all these years. Some people suggest that the Ark is located within Ethiopia. Some Christians make the claim that within Ethiopia, the Ark is located within the Church of St. Mary of Zion. At this location, there seems to be one person whose sole job is to keep an watchful eye on the Ark. The Ark itself may be held by this individual. After everything we have learned, it is kind of weird to think that one person holds the complete and utter access to the Ark of the Covenant. It does lead us to a couple of questions, like, how does this person get chosen to be the watcher of the Ark?
So I actually, there was an, I can't remember what show it was, but they had a whole episode on finding the Ark.
Yeah.
And they ended up in Ethiopia. Yeah. Right? And it's this building, no windows. There's a small window.
Yep.
A door. And the person's not allowed to leave, the person that's in there. They have food delivered to them. Of course, there's a bathroom, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Like, the town comes together and votes for the person, right? There's volunteers, but yeah. Then you have to vote for the volunteers. Yeah. And that's their job for their entire life.
Is to watch the Ark.
Outside, no one is allowed in this place, unless, like, food's being delivered or whatever. But, like, outsiders, the guy who was looking for the Ark and stuff, tried to even just ask a question and was forced out of the village that this place is in, because no outsiders are allowed to even glimpse at it.
Mm.
Is it there? You still don't know. The whole thing was he was like, I don't want to touch it. I don't want anything. I just want to see if it's there.
Yeah.
And their whole thing is, no, take our word for it. All you have to do is take our word for it. It's there.
That's a little tough.
It's a little suspect. Just a little bit.
Yeah. There is slight key insight into how the Ark may be killing someone. Earlier in this episode, we talked about God determining who lived and who died. A static shock may come from the Ark itself, but a static shock will not kill you. If we were thinking realistically, the only way the Ark could have killed someone is if you were crushed by it. Honestly, yeah. The Ark does not seem to have any real powers, or if it did, some religious organization would be taking full advantage of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are some weird theories when it comes to the final location of the Ark. One theory is that it suggests that the Ark is hidden within the Dead Sea Scrolls. Another theory suggests that the Ark may be hidden within Egypt. There's also a wild theory that suggests that the Ark may even be somewhere within Ireland. This theory suggests that the Ark may have been buried within the Hill of Terra. This is all a theory. No one has made clear evidence as to where the Ark, if it is real, where it is today.
What if the Ark got burned up in the burning of the library at Alexandria?
Oh, maybe.
You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
Because the Library of Alexandria was almost like the Vatican.
Yeah.
It had the entire world's history at this place. What they would do is, let's say merchants came to this place. Whatever books and stuff they had, they would make you give them the books.
Yeah.
They would copy the books and then give you back the original.
Which makes
and
sense.
And put the books in the library. That's how they did it. So who's to say they didn't have the Ark there? And then it gets burned down.
No shit, yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. One of the largest mysteries that has to do with the Ark would be the fact that it is typically seen or looked down by one person. In the times of Moses, many people were able to witness the Ark if it was not placed within the shrine. It would be some irony if we think that of the Ark as being this giant, grandiose box in size, but yet it's the size of a shoebox. The Ark may be a lore, and we could have been making the scale larger than life. If we think about it, the laws of God did not need to be in a flashy box at all.
Right.
The stone tablets could be small stone tablets, too. There's no real size.
Because when you're watching the Ten Commandments, he's walking down with holding these slabs, and it's like, what if they were like almost
in the palm of your hand,
paper size,
that's right.
Or the palm of your hand, cell phone size,
that's
or something.
Right. What is a bit ironic would be the fact that the Ark, if the Ark was much larger too, what if the Ark was the size of a cargo ship or whatever it is? It took thousands of people to move it. We think of this Ark as, what we could think of as object is just having a very large presence too. The Ark's lure could be one key aspect to the large popularity of trying to find it. The Ark has become an item that if we ever found would kind of change the course of some religious ideals. The Ark itself does hold its own place for being a religious artifact. We will continue to explore a few more various religious artifacts within this series. It is possible that the Ark is the item within this list that could be cursed. Do we have any other cursed items? We don't know yet. It would be interesting to find out if any of these objects are connected or indirectly connected to the Ark in some form or fashion. One key aspect we will end on is the element of gold. Golden objects have been known to have magical or mystical properties based on the item itself. Gold is known for being a sturdy metal, and it also creates a nice detailed design. By adding a little religious law, a little bit of gold, and a specific type of wood, we may have gotten the world's most powerful religious items of all time, the Ark of the Covenant.
Okay, so what if the Ark is real? Okay.
Yes.
And someone finally found it. And they decide to open it up on television. Do those people who are watching it live on television end up getting the wrath of God because they're watching it? Or are they safe because it's through TV?
I would say they get affected by it.
Right? So, like, if you're a bad person...
Because you're
viewing it.
A false idol.
Right.
You're viewing at a false idol, aren't you not? Yeah, you're kind of a false idol. Yeah, you're...
Okay. The false idol thing.
Yeah.
It says you're not supposed to... With false idols, right?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to
worship. Yeah.
False idols. What do you call Jesus on the cross? Isn't that an idol?
He's an idol.
It's messed up, isn't it?
Religious can be a little contradicting.
But I got thinking about that. You know, when you're watching Raiders, right? And they open it up and Indiana Jones is like, look away, don't look, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about nowadays where everything on this planet gets filmed.
Seen.
Everything.
Heard.
So if you decide, oh, hey, they're going to open the Ark today live, and everyone goes on there and they're watching it live on their monitors, on their TV.
I don't know. Like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing
no,
it.
No. I'd be like, you know what?
Let You got you. Whoever want to watch it, you watch.
You watch it.
I'm not doing it.
And I'd sit back and just wait. Now, if nothing happens,
great.
Okay, then maybe I'll take a look.
That's right.
But if like all of a sudden half the world's population's fucking dead,
or a plague opens up,
and it's like only the people that it's like The Ring.
Yeah.
Like 7 days.
That's right.
After you watch the video, you have yeah. 7 days.
But the Ark itself was a weird item. I mean,
yes,
it does seem to be lost for a long time, and it is kind of cursed in a sense, too. It was only cursed for people that took it without either permission or they just wanted it for the sake of wanting it, too.
I think if they take the Ark for selflessness, that's when it, like, became a problem.
Yes.
Right? But if they took it to protect it type of deal, I want to keep it safe. I don't want anyone to, like, damage it, blah, blah, blah. Then it seemed like it was in a good spot, so nothing
happened. That's right.
So if you like what you hear, follow us on Facebook, Captivated Minds. Instagram's at Minds Captivated. Email us, CaptivatedMinds2@gmail.com. Everything's listed in the show notes, including our Instagrams.
If you also listen to us on Spotify, make sure you turn on notifications so you get up to date when we drop new episodes. If you also listen to us on any other platforms, let us know how we're doing. We'd love to hear from you with a review or comment.
Yeah, so thank you all for listening.
Thank you.